been doing a study for a couple of months now in the book of Peter, and we're moving right along. We got to chapter 2 already. We're going to get through 3 verses today, Lord willing. Again, there's just so much there. We said before, to read through your Bible is a good thing, to read daily. But just to read through it doesn't give you the benefit of stopping and studying it and seeing the things that God has put there for us centuries ago that still pliable today. And this again is Peter writing to the Jews. These are Jews who accepted Christ as their Savior. So he's writing this to what we would call completed Jews. But it's also just like for us when we come to church and we get fortified with the Word of God, that we can go and persuade our loved ones about Christ. So he's explaining to them things that they already know, but things that would fortify them to say, hey, when you go talk to your aunt or uncle or whoever, here's the things that you can that will kind of bring it home for you as far as who and what Christ is. Again, the Jews understood the Old Testament scriptures. They saw and understood the foreshadowing and all the things that were to come about Christ. But so many of them rejected Christ. It wasn't that they had gotten so away from the scripture of a crucified Savior that's not the one they wanted. When Christ showed up, and we'll see that here in just a few verses, that's not the one they wanted. They wanted right now, set up and done. Kind of reminds you of us, right? I want it my way and I want it now. And that's really the only way that we see things. As we season along through the Word of God, we understand that we want it His way in His season and His time. That's where we struggle. That's where we have all of our oh no's and tragedies and all the things that are going on of not seeing that this is God's plan. And if we're there where He wants us to be, that's the best place to be. Peter is witnessing to the Jews. Paul, I believe, did the same thing in the book of Hebrews when he began to talk to the Jews. We mentioned this a couple of weeks ago that the Jews that accepted Christ, now again, what they accepted was that He was the sacrifice. No longer the bullocks and sheep and all the temple sacrifices, but that He took that place of those. But there were still some Jews that wanted to wear a belt and suspenders. Yeah, I believe that Christ is that sacrifice, but I'm going to go ahead and do my daily sacrifices. And Paul said, you can't do that. Once you've been given the light and understand it, you can't go back and sacrifice animals. It's not going to work. If you're back here sacrificing animals looking for Christ, it works. But once you understand that that's who He is, it doesn't work anymore. You accept Him or reject Him. We run into people quite a bit that say, well, you know, when I get ready or when I get this in my life straightened out or whatever, I'll make that decision. You have to understand, they made that decision then and now. They rejected the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If they said not now or I'll wait, they made a conscious decision. I was able to have a dinner Monday with some people, and this gentleman just started in on something that was real heartfelt to him. He said there was a guy that he had followed around for about 5 years, not stalking, but just they had things going on with their kids and sports and stuff. He followed him around, or would call him and say, hey, let's have dinner and catch up, or, you know, we would find him somewhere. For 5 years, he kept talking to this guy about salvation. And finally, here just the other day, the guy received Christ. But his wife still was lost. And this guy explained the story just out of the blue to us. And I thought, boy, this is really on his heart. And he said, well, they moved over here to Sendera Ranch. And I said, man, we go over there every Tuesday and visit somebody in and around that area. I said, tell me where they are, I'll go visit them. So he said, I don't know where they live, but I can tell you how to get there. So he kind of gave me instructions. I said, well, I kind of know that neighborhood pretty good. I got an idea where it's at. So I just prayed Tuesday, Lord, lead me to their house, or if not, we'll see who opens the door. So Brandon and I went, and we went and took a right. Okay, this must be it. Walked up, knocked on the door, and heard a dog. You know, or I rung the doorbell, heard a dog, heard voices in there. We stood around. Brandon said, well, you reckon the doorbell doesn't work? And I said, well, I heard the dog. I heard a guy, you know. So I knock on the door, hear the dog again. This angry Russian opens the door. I thought Brandon was going to wet on himself. This guy jerked the door open. What? I was like, you're not this guy, are you? No, I asked him if he was who I was looking for, and he said, no, you got the wrong address, and slammed the door. Okay. You could get deterred, you know. So we got in the truck, and we went around to the next little cul-de-sac, and I said, maybe this is it. He kept talking like it was on the right, and Brandon said, well, if you keep going around the cul-de-sac, those are on the right. You know, because if you pull up in there, they're on. So we parked, and I said, maybe this is it. I wasn't going to give up that easy, so we start up toward the house, and there were two vehicles there, a truck and an SUV. The SUV had a Jesus little fish on it, and I said, this isn't the house. Guys just recently got saved, wife's still lost, presumably the wife's car. I said, this just isn't the house. So I stood in the middle of the street, and I kind of looked around, and I thought, man, what was it? Brandon said, well, is it that house with the truck with the big welder? And I said, no, I didn't mention welding. He works for Bell. And just when I said that, I looked around. There was a truck with the Bell sticker on the back of it. And I said, this is the house right here. Went up, knocked on the door, and it was him. So we found him. Got to visit with him a little bit and talked to him. Didn't let us in to talk to his wife, which I wouldn't have either. I mean, it was me and Brandon. You know, so anyway, got to talk to him. Hopefully he'll go back through the channels and give us a call or tell me to come back over. Anyway, you know, and he understood how important it was. But each time this guy was trying to lead him to the Lord, he'd say, well, let me go back and talk to my wife. And his wife ended up being the problem of holding back. No offense, I guess, if the shoe fits. But anyway, his wife was the one holding him back, and the guy said, look, I'll come over and visit with both of y'all, you know, at the same time. So anyway, we pray that maybe that all works out. But I don't know how we got to there. But the Jews that Peter's talking to here is, again, he's trying to tell them that if you're going to go out and witness to someone, here's the tools that you can use. He starts in chapter 2, and he says, wherefore? And again, y'all been here long enough or came by enough that you, anywhere you see in the Bible that's therefore or wherefore, you see what it's there for. So you have to back up and see what it's about. So after we pray, 1 Peter chapter 2. Lord, thank you again for all these who've come out and, Lord, come from their homes and, Lord, gathered into this assembly, Lord, to hear your word. And Father, I pray that, Lord, it falls on fertile ground, Lord, that it would spring up and give growth, and Lord, that we would all grow in your word. Father, I pray for those who had prayer requests mentioned. Lord, thank you for the praise reports and those things. Father, we do pray for family members that are in harm's way in different countries, Lord, that you'd just have your protective hand over them, Lord, watch over them and bring them back to us safely. And Father, I pray that the things that are said today that people could leave out of here and go and witness, Lord, to those that you put in their path. Lord, be with us. Lord, teach this lesson in Christ's name. Amen. He says, wherefore? This isn't a therefore, it's wherefore. It's where they are in their lives. It's wherefore. Okay? It's not a therefore. It's wherefore. He says wherefore. Because of all this stuff we've just talked about, look back up in verse 21 chapter 1. He says, who by Him do believe in God that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now he says, wherefore? Because of that. Because you've been born again. So he's talking to Christians here. He says, wherefore, having laid aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speaking. He says, because of what Christ has done for you, you've now set all that aside. Right? We've all set all that aside. We don't talk bad about others anymore. We don't cut people down so that we lift ourselves up anymore. The hypocrisies, the envies, wishing that you had what somebody else had. You know, we've laid all that aside. It's the same thing in this illustration of Lazarus. Lazarus was Jesus' friend. Jesus left on one of his missionary journeys, if you will, and Lazarus died. They sent for him. 4 days later, Jesus shows up. They said, you know, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. Jesus said, no, all this has to take place so that God be glorified. 4 days. He said, y'all move the stone away and we'll get him out. And they said, but Master, he stinketh. His body has begun to decay. Jesus said, no, y'all aren't getting the picture. I'm God. None of that matters. He called Lazarus. He said, Lazarus, come forth. I've explained this to this class and even the kids. He was wrapped in his burial clothing, okay? He was wrapped like a mummy in just wraps of garment, okay? I don't know how he came forth. I don't know if he did the Fred Flintstone deal of twinkling on his toes because his legs are wrapped together. I don't know if he hopped. I don't know if he did the worm over there to him. I don't know. I don't know if he levitated and came out. If God told him to come out, he's going to make it out of there. I don't know how he did it because he was wrapped. We know he was wrapped because Jesus said, loose him. Get those death clothes off of him. You know why? He's been born again. What an illustration. Get those old smelly, soiled death clothes off of him. Take those away. Because he's been born again. Now, those of us who've been born again, we walk in the newness of life. We put on a new garment. But every now and again, tomorrow, what do? We pick up those old death clothes, stinky, nasty death clothes, and we put them back on us. Paul told us in Romans that we're dead to sin. If we're dead to sin, why on earth do we want to pick up that stuff and put it back on? Y'all wouldn't touch some things that were soiled in different areas. I dare say some of y'all wouldn't run around my little old place and get some of that used grass on you. But you know what? We do that every day. We pick up those old stinky death clothes and we put them back on. When we've been born again, and in all the newness of life, yet we want to walk in that old way and that old nasty death stuff. Churches should actually be nurseries. Look in verse 2, he says, as newborn babes. Churches should be somewhat of a nursery. You come in as a newborn babe and you begin to get fed milk. Illustrations here abound. There was a little girl one time heard after Sunday school. They had taught Matthew 22:14, where it says that many are called, but few are chosen. She was asked what the Sunday school lesson was about. She said, many are cold, but a few are frozen. Yeah, that kind of hits home, doesn't it? Are we a refrigerator or an incubator here? What's gonna produce life? One's gonna slow it down, the other's gonna produce it abundantly. The little girl was closer to right than what she was thinking. Many are cold. A few of them are even frozen. You know, I got a text last year. You know, if you don't have the number readily available, it just says from someone. What a coincidence. It says, one down, one to go. I text back and I said, who is this? And it was Bill Graham. I said, what do you mean? He said, you challenged us all to go out and witness to one person and win them to the Lord. He said, I got one down, one to go. I said, amen. How quickly I forget. Some are frozen and aren't doing anything. Some are. Some are just cold. But churches should be nurseries in the fact that newborn babes come in. You know, I don't know how to do, I don't know how to act, I don't know what to do. Show me what I'm supposed to be doing. Show me how, you know, what is it we're supposed to be doing. Now, it's so much easier dealing with children than it is adults. Adults have that thinking mind of them and rationale. Well, that can't work. What do you mean? A virgin gave birth to somebody? I know enough about that. That can't work. With God, all things are possible. With God, without the virgin birth, we have no hope. So, when we begin to deal with them, he says in verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, comma, that you may grow thereby. Physically, we need food. I guarantee you we're going to go to lunch today when this is over with. Right? You sit here and you go to thinking, man, what are we going to do today? Where are we going to go at today? Because your physical body wants nourishment. You have a spiritual body within you that needs nourishment. The more it stays repressed, the less it can fight the physical body. We discussed it over the weekend. My son's home from college and he has a workout program that he has to do every day. Well, Monday through Thursday. He showed it to me last night because tomorrow I have to do it with him. Oh boy. I think I can make the varsity team this year when we get to the spring training. But it's all a matter of making your mind do things that your body doesn't want to do. When you made yourself come to church today, you won the battle. Because let me tell you, there's nothing here physically for you. We've tried to develop it over the years. We don't have the old hard wooden pews anymore. That was an excuse, right? Okay, let's fix that. Let's get these really nice comfortable chairs. worked a little bit. Not a great deal, but it worked a little bit. But there's nothing physical here for you. You know, it's uncomfortable, it's stuffy, you got to wear a tie, whatever you want to use to say that it's no good for your physical well-being. And you're right. But you're here for your spiritual well-being, your spiritual growth, or your spiritual development. You know, when you're newborn, or as chapter 1 says, you're born again, you end up being different. Now, you don't start out being different, and Jantz and I just discussed this a minute ago. Especially as adults, we don't just flip the switch. Man, it's neat when you see somebody that does. When you see somebody that was one way and now is completely different. And then they just keep growing from there. But we have an example in the Bible of Moses. Moses was born a Jew. Yet he was raised an Egyptian. His mother put him in a basket, sent him down the Nile. Pharaoh's daughter takes him out of the basket and raises him as her own in the palace. He was in line to have all of that. But God placed upon his heart that he needed to go back to his people. He was born again, if you will. He was one thing, now he's another. Man, it was all rosy and creamy for him after that, wasn't it? He said, okay, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And he goes from being the king's son to a murderer. He goes down there, the guy's beating on one of his people, he kills the guy, and he's run out of town. Woo, praise God. Life's going good for me right now. Huh? Yeah. Well, this is working out for me. He goes into the wilderness, into the land of Midian. He shows up at a well, and Midian's daughters come to water their flocks. The shepherds, other shepherds come around. They push him back out of the way, and they begin to water their flocks and let Midian's daughters wait. Moses saw that. He stepped up and said, no, we're not going to do that. You let them go. They were here first. I'm paraphrasing. He runs them off, lets Midian's daughters water their flock. They make it home early. Midian says, hey, what are y'all doing home now? What, you know what they said? They said, this Egyptian helped us. He wasn't an Egyptian. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews is what the Bible tells us. But you know what? They identified him by his appearance, his speech, his mannerisms as an Egyptian. We are to be able to be identified, no doubt. They identify him. The Word of God says that an Egyptian delivered us. But then Moses went through 40 years of God's wilderness program. He lived out there for 40 years with Midian. And when he showed back up in Egypt, he didn't look like an Egyptian. He didn't talk like one. He didn't act like one. He was a Hebrew then. And it was evident and it showed. No one after that mistook him for an Egyptian. I'll tell you that we should be taken as a Christian. You know, I say jokingly, sometimes serious, I'm not really a Christian, I'm just saved. There's a difference. Being a Christian is being Christ-like or acting like Christ. I don't do that all the time. Really, I guess on a scale, very seldom, if you really looked at it, when you begin to search yourself. But we are to be able to be identified as what we really are. He says in verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. Now, back when we first had our firstborn, our little daughter, I used to hear a cat walk through the house in sneakers. Boy, there's no sound, no nothing. I could hear it. Boy, we had that first baby, and she starts crying in the middle of the night. What do you do, guys? That's the truth, isn't it? Isn't it? Like, she's not awake thinking, do I elbow him first? Because you just elbow real quick and then you're still. So they don't know that. What was that? Oh, the baby. Right? Right? I did it more times than my share, believe me. Well, first of all, I couldn't facilitate, okay? All right? Early on, okay? And then there was that diaper deal. Sorry, guys. And I'm telling you, whoo! Thank God those days are done. Somebody has to facilitate that child. That little bitty thing making more noise than physically possible, right? All coming out of that one little deal. You know what needs to happen? You need to put something in where all that noise is coming out of. Because that's going to shut it down. The Word of God is true. As newborn babes desire sincere milk. That's just something that's inerrant. That baby is going to cry and whine and complain until somebody facilitates it. Right? Stick that bottle in the mouth, shuts down, then just the grunting and the goings, right? That's how it works. Elsa's sitting back there going, yep, that's how it works. Brandon said, what, we fed the baby? But the newborns desire milk. Someone's got to give it to them. That's what the church does. That's what, when you're born again or newborns, you come in, and you begin to get the milk. Sometimes you stumble into a class and you get some big old chunks of meat and you can't do anything with it. You leave out of here scratching your head going, I don't get that. Right? I mean, you go, wow, that's too much for me to swallow. But you got to get that milk just as you go along. Now sometimes, as children do, you bite off more than you can chew. You go, yeah, I think I can figure through that. And my pet saying is, you get into an argument with someone that don't know the New from the Old Testament, but boy, they can argue the fact with you. You know, by crackers, it says in the Bible you can drink. Okay, well, does it say it in the New or the Old Testament? Well, I don't know, but it's in there. Okay, it's in the New Testament. Well, I don't know, but it's in one of them books. Okay, well, it's in Timothy. Well, I don't know. No, nobody can tell you, but they can argue the fact with you that the Bible says you can drink. It don't ever say in there anywhere, thou shalt not smoke. But it's teachings. And sometimes you get babes trying to have a steak with you. And then you get problems. Instead of just the sincere milk. Peter's trying to explain to them here that as newborn babes, you've got to go and at least get nourishment so that you can grow. The basic facts of babies is they get into messes. You can't leave them unattended. I stopped across the street over here this week to get me a snow cone. David Smith was over there with his little girl Casey. I just love that kid, probably because mine's named Casey too. But she'd had a snow cone and it was evident. It was a blue one. And I think most of it went down the hole. But a lot of it was still evident around. David and I sat there and tried to have a conversation. She wasn't allowing it. She was climbing over this and into that and picking this up and in the mat. Just nonstop. I understood it. It didn't bother me. But just nonstop. Kids get into messes. And we pick them up and we clean them up, and I gave David my napkin and we got some more. And but you clean them up. You don't throw them away. You don't start all over. You just clean them up and you ready yourself for that next mess that's coming, because it's on the way. It's coming again. And you just keep doing that and you keep giving them that sincere milk until they're big enough to handle some of those things on their own. That's what Peter's saying here, is he says, they desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Man, how else are you going to grow spiritually if you don't get spiritual food? I've told y'all, I'm not a reader. I've never been a reader. My wife is a perpetual reader. She's got a couple of different books going at the same time. I don't understand it. But I'll tell you, if I didn't teach Sunday school, I wouldn't read my Bible. I just wouldn't. I know I wouldn't. When I didn't teach Sunday school, I wasn't a reader of it. It must be difficult on everybody else because y'all aren't required to stand and answer anything for it. If you were, I would no doubt y'all would read and try and look into it. But we've got to give our spiritual bodies some kind of nourishment. We have to do that. The only way we get it is, again, through the Word of God. And I'll tell you this, the only one that's going to give it to you is a local New Testament church. You're not going to get it through some self-help books or TV or anything. You're not going to get it there. It's going to be the way God set it up. There's too much, especially today, too much of bringing God down to where we're at. Well, God, I'm more comfortable over here. You come over here and we'll have fellowship. That's not God's program. God's program is an ecclesia, which is a called out assembly. Here in verses 4 through on in chapter 2, he's going to begin to explain this called out assembly. It's kind of a picture, if you will, of we're all lively stones. We're not dead stones, we're all lively stones. And we're fit neatly together. I guarantee you, short of church fellowship, a lot of us wouldn't ever give each other the time of day. We just don't have a lot of stuff in common. It's fact. You know, we fought for a long time. No cliques in church. No cliques. Cliques are bad. Cliques happen. People just migrate to people with like interests. It just happens. And you got this group over here and that group over there and that group over here. Why? Because they have stuff in common. They have things that they can discuss and talk about, and you know, if I sit down with my mom and Jim and we begin to talk agricultural things, I don't have to explain things to Jim to say, hey, we were doing this to get to this. It's just understood. You know, people are going to go to people who have like interests. Peter says here that the only way you're going to grow is to get the sincere milk or the Word of God. He says in verse 3, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. That if there is kind of an assumed already fact. It's not saying if you have. He's saying that it's already a fact. Look what it says. He says, if so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. He's telling them that because he understands they already know how gracious the Lord is. They've received Christ. They already know that His grace abounds. Again, it's a fact. Exodus 16 talks about God sending down manna. It's a great illustration. They called it angel food. But every morning, when 2.5 million people or so got up and looked outside their tents, there was manna on the ground. They didn't have to do nothing but walk out there and pick it up and eat it. How great was that? They had that for a while. It was life-sustaining. It was, I'm assuming, tasty. We call it that angel food cake, you know. Man, who doesn't like that, you know? But here's this manna that all they had to do, no work at all. They didn't have to go harvest it. It was there every morning. All they had to do was pick it up and put it in their mouths. You know what they did after a while? They said, we want flesh. We want something more. We're tired of this. We want something more. If you fast forward into the New Testament, Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. I'm that manna that was sent forth. You know, the same thing happened. Here he comes into Jerusalem in his triumphant entry. They all sang, Hosanna, save us now. Woohoo, we're here. He's here. Man, it's all going to change now. God has sent down bread from above. And all we have to do is partake. And that same crowd said, crucify him. We want flesh. We want something different than what you've sent. You know, it was good for a while, but now we want something else. And we can't get to that place in our lives where what God gave us for all the benefits isn't anything we want more. God help us that we don't ever cry. Give us something else. Give us flesh to eat. Because we're just saying crucify Him. Next week, about the church and the lively stones and how it all fits together. Let's pray. Lord, thank You again for Your Word. Father, I thank You for, Lord, preserving the Word and that it's desired, Lord, as milk for newborns. Father, I pray that, Lord, we consume it. Lord, we as last week with the examples of the clean animals, Lord, that we would digest it, Lord, regurgitate and chew on it some more and digest it again, Lord, that example that we had. And Father, I pray that, Lord, that we leave out of here, Lord, with a sincere desire, Lord, to look into Your Word, to find out more about who You are, Lord, that we could not only witness here, but that we could stand one day before You. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.